Ordinary People, Epic Adventures. We are the SpyFi Guys, and this is 007 Road to a Million, Season 2. Welcome to SpyFi Guys, where we cover spy facts, spy fiction, and everything in between. I'm Christian.
And I'm Zach.
And today we have another Dead Drop episode, this time for something we've, you know, talked about it previously. 007 Road to a Million. This is the James Bond game show, as it were, which is really more like sort of an Amazing Race style thing.
One might also call it the opening salvo of the corporatization of James Bond. A more cynical person than myself might say that.
You'd say that, but okay. So this did come out on Amazon Prime, but this is actually not a primarily Amazon Prime run show.
This is
actually still from Eon, Barbara Broccoli and Lee Wilson are still producers on this. And they actually did, like, they hand selected all of these participants.
It's still a bit of a troubling sign, though, wouldn't you agree?
I know you probably didn't watch all of season one. You just watched the first couple episodes, or did you actually finish it?
No, I finished it. I remember because nobody got the million, which I found very surprising.
Yeah. And I mean, so let's have a little brief recap of season one. I thought it was, the first thing I have is anticlimactic that no one even got close to the million. I think they were still at like 2,500. And so they had a bunch of more challenges. I also didn't like that the contestants were really silo. They never actually met each other.
Right. There's that.
And
did you go back and listen to our season one episode?
I did
not.
This is just memories of what I remember of the show. I remember, and I think I remember you had an issue with the random trivia questions that like were kind of relevant to the location, but not really something that, it's just general trivia. It's not anything like that, you know, you just had to know.
No, I mean, it's total unfair.
Yeah. So
I think it's unfair.
Thinking about it again, it's like, yeah, no, that doesn't, that for a James Bond game show, it should be more than just random trivia.
Also, yeah, I mean, like, when has James Bond ever answered random trivia questions to complete his adventure?
No.
So that was one. And the other one was, maybe my expectations were too high, but it didn't feel like they were doing stuff James Bond would actually do most of the time. Sometimes, yes, like when they dealt with the snake, but other times, not so much.
Yeah, and I for me, the other big thing was that James Bond seemed like a dirty word that they never wanted to say. Like, they mentioned it once, like, in his, like, you know, the controller's open monologue. Those were my big issues. I do remember liking some of the pairs, like the Bowen brothers, or, like, the two nurses who were, you know, got the furthest. So, spoilers for season one, by the way.
That's right.
But that's our brief recap of season one. Season two. So, let's start out. I mean, we're not going to go through beat by beat. I'll just give an overview of the two episodes. But, you know, we start off with a cameo from the psychologist from Skyfall. Did you remember this?
No, I did not remember that.
So, Bond fans will remember there's a scene in Skyfall after he comes back from, you know, being quote-unquote dead. There's, like, a psychologist, and he's in, like, an interrogation room, and they're, like, doing the word association game. And so this is the same actor from that doing the same kind of thing. I also like how now that rather than being a nebulous, like, Bond villain style character, the controller is now like an MI6 agent assessor.
Yeah, I mean, right away, I felt like they had listened to us.
Mm-hmm.
I take credit. They listened to our feedback and they changed it. And they leaned into the Bond more. Practically the first line of the series is, what qualities do you share with James Bond? That's a great start. Then we have people bungee jumping off of a dam, like in GoldenEye.
Not just any dam, the dam.
The dam, even
now,
better.
Now, we're going to go into Christian's humble brag corner. Zach, have you ever been bungee jumping?
No, and I'm very happy about that.
And I'm just kidding, this is not a humble brag. I've never done bungee jumping either, but I just want to throw that recurring bit in. That's one I'm like, I don't know if I would do it. Skydiving, I don't know why that's better for me, but bungee jumping, I don't know, maybe it's the snap back up that I'm like, no thanks.
Yeah, I'm happy with my feet on the ground. Would you do it, or you're still deciding?
I'm on the fence. Like, I think the only place I would probably do it is at that dam in Geneva. I think it's in Geneva, but somewhere in Switzerland where they did GoldenEye. But also, like, that is the most terrifying place to do it. But if you're going to do it, you might as well go all the way.
Well, I'm going to humble brag for a second, which is I've been to the best place for bungee jumping in the world, which is New Zealand.
Oh, yeah? And you didn't do it.
And I did not do it. I was not brave enough. So they bungee jump, they drive some Aston Martins. You know, we get some James Bond name drop.
We even get one of them, like, humming the Bond theme as he's driving. It was like, all right, yeah.
And by the way, Brian Cox looks a lot older than in season one.
So, yeah, we've got eight pairs. We've got Sid and Shabina, husband and wife. Dan and Dylan, who are father and son. Jamila and Asad, brother and sister. Alex and Rob, who are husbands. Ricky and Nadi, who are, like, best friends. Kat and Maya, who are sisters. Sam and Luke, who are also best friends. And then another husband and wife pair, Shelly and Steven. And also, so I like that, you know, not only they get to drive an Aston, which, okay, I'm jealous, but they actually get to meet Brian Cox. He's just not a nebulous voice on the phone who has definitely been ADR'd in after the fact.
Yeah, they up their game big time.
Yeah, yeah. And also they get to meet each other.
Right, there's that too.
So, right away it's like, all right. Because last time you didn't even meet all of the characters at the beginning. You would, like, meet some of them as you're going through and then, like, you know, meet one new pair every episode almost, even though they've already gone through a bunch of the challenges.
Yeah, that's right.
They break up the two teams to start in Thailand. We get a shot of James Bond Island. The controller has a, like, money penny type whose name is Sophia. And we have, like, the first group have to find a speedboat named Goodnight, take it to a different boat and retrieve a hard drive and get a USB from a tank that has scorpions.
So, Christian, a couple of things here. The first is, sure, and I think I said this last time, but the narration is back. Do you remember the narration where the contestants are saying what they do as they do it?
I do not remember that. Okay.
Yeah, there's a part where somebody's walking on the dock and they says, "We need to find Goodnight and get the hard drive." And I said, "Yes, I know. You just said that 2 minutes ago. Thank you."
All right, but remember my oft-used phrase, audiences are goldfish. They need to be reminded of things.
It's only a 33-minute episode, and they still remember it. There's also a funny, I also wanted to comment, I don't know if we're doing favorite quotes, because on Dead Drop episodes, there are no rules.
I wasn't really doing, I didn't
plan
any.
Yeah, there are no rules. Well, Brian Cox says, "How much are you willing to take to get the $1 million?" And I gotta say, stuff like Squid Game, like fictional competition shows, have ruined me. Because you know they're not gonna, like, waterboard them or something.
No, but they will do extreme. I'm watching this, I'm like, so where's their, you know, safety coordinator who tells them how to grab the, like, I'm assuming that they're there, they're just out of shot, and they're, you know, it's edited to look like they're just by themselves, but...
Scorpions was great. It's like the snake last time. But do you remember the snake last time? There was a snake, but he just reached down and pulled the thing out. Like, the snake didn't even move. So this was like, oh man, this is a good start. Scorpions, they actually have to touch the scorpions and they, like, can't really do it. Though it made me wonder, Christian, if I was in this situation, I would have picked up the box and, like, dumped the scorpion out and then lifted the hard drive out. I don't know.
Except then you'd have scorpions at your feet.
Well, no, you dump it into another box. Come on, do I look like an idiot? I wonder if it's glued to the table. I wonder if it's glued to the table or something, so they can't actually do that. Yeah.
Yeah, so, and some of them, you know, some of the teams have harder times getting onto the boat than others. I liked how it was, I think almost all of them found that there was a secret platform on the other side of the boat that was easier to get up.
Yeah, that's right. Though, what did you think of the chicks?
You mean the sisters?
The rich girls. The sisters, yeah.
Okay, let's not, you know,
dip them. Sorry, James Bond got into my head a little bit.
I like them.
Well, yeah, I thought it was interesting that they are like, yeah, we're like privileged British white girls who are attractive and one of us
is
a model.
White?
But they looked white to me, looking glass self. Mm. Anyway, and they're like, people are going to underestimate us. And I said, yeah, I do underestimate you. And then they, like, can't even get on the boat. One of them can't.
I mean, I will say, like, I've done, getting onto a boat from the water is harder than you'd think. This is, like, back in Hawaii, one time when I brought my roommates back to Hawaii, and he had two boats, and we were, you know, doing the James Bond thing of transferring between boats, and of course, people fell in, including myself, and getting back onto the boat, harder than you think. It's a lot of upper body strength.
Right, yeah, and they didn't seem to have, or that one girl didn't seem to have any.
Well, she's a law student, not like a Instagram model. Like her sister. I forget which one was which. Kat and Maya. I don't remember which one was the model, which one was the law student.
Yeah, they're also telling each other to be quiet. Let me focus.
Yeah. And but yeah, lots of relationship drama. I enjoyed, I think it was, who was it? It was Sid and Shibita, where, you know, you've got a steady your hand, you grab the scorpions, and it's like, and what are you going to be doing?
Yeah, Sid does nothing the entire time. There's even a part where it looks like he's going to have a heart attack because he's sitting on the boat, and he looks like he's about to, like, keel over while his wife is swimming around below him. There's also a funny line, I think it might be after they get off the boat, where Shibita says, the controller exploited all of our weaknesses. It's like, really? Did he, though?
He's afraid of water, so apparently, yeah, that would do it.
They made him swim.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. It's like, yeah, this isn't actually James Bond, even if it may feel like it.
But yeah, so all of them managed to actually complete the mission, but it ends on a cliffhanger so that's the one thing we didn't explain about this new season. So rather than people just getting eliminated because they did or didn't answer the question, now every episode, or at least, well, the first two sort of act as a two-parter, but every episode after that, you have at least one elimination.
Yeah, and yeah, instead of trivia, they have a riddle. Password.
Well, we'll get to that once we end episode two. But episode one ends on a cliffhanger because whoever it finishes slowest goes to the killer question, as they call it.
Right, but they have the password, right? Remember the anagram password?
Oh, yes, that's in both episodes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, that's what you're talking about. I thought you meant about the killer question. Oh, yes.
No.
Yeah, the anagram. Were you able to solve it? I was going to pause it, and then I got caught up with something else, so they said it before I could solve it myself. So this one I did not solve.
I did not try to figure it out. The second one I did figure out, though.
I did. Okay. That's episode one. Episode two starts with, we find out that it's Sid and Shibita, the older couple, who are going to be facing the killer question alongside whoever loses the other challenge with the other four pairs.
That's right. I also have a note here. There's a brief shot of Brian Cox where it looks like there's a little bit of schmutz on his suit. Like little white flakes.
I didn't catch that. No.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect anyone to go back and take a look, but if you want to, it's around the part where he reveals that Ricky and Nadi were the fastest.
Ah, yes. Yeah. All right. Still in Thailand, where the other four pairs are in Bangkok. They have to find the Carver Media Group. Did that name ring any bells for you?
Yes, it did. Thank you for asking. And also, we forgot to mention the Golden Gun season episode one.
Yeah, actually, so they're like, when they have these shots before, you know, the teams get to the location where you have, like, a nebulous henchman who says everything's all ready. And so, yeah, you had the shot of the Golden Gun. I like that Sid actually found the Golden Gun and is excited about it. And then Sabine says, no, we don't have time.
Yeah, he's playing with it. So finally, they lean into the James Bondness of a James Bond show. Finally.
Yeah. Now, the building that they're in, where they're looking for the Carver Media Group, is, remember Tomorrow Never Dies, where Bond and Wai Lin are like, there's a big giant banner of Elliot Carver's face, and they slide. So this is the same building.
Okay, nice.
Yeah,
very nice.
But yeah, so they have to find the Carver Media Group, which is listed in, like, the, you know, building's big signage. Find a hard drive, and then climb two towers on the roof to send the signal. And one of the towers has the correct wiring; the other, you have to figure it out. But of course, the numbers and letters are all scrambled, and they're in Thai.
Yeah, so we meet a couple of our contestants. Well, I guess we've already met them, but we focus on them now.
Yeah,
like, we have Dan and Dylan. Dylan has autism, and you can tell by the way he talks. That was interesting. And then his dad, Dan, has an eye patch, and they never explain why he has an eye patch.
I mean,
Come on, guys.
I think it might actually be in some of, like, the materials that they released beforehand. Now, let me look it up, actually.
That's, like, the one thing the audience wants to know, and they didn't tell us.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, let's see. All right, Dan and Dylan. Oh, he's a cancer survivor.
Oh, he got, like, cancer in his eye or something?
Seemingly. That's what they mentioned. So, okay. I mean, yeah,
that would have been interesting. Oh, and by the way, Christian.
Yeah.
Do you remember in season one, everybody had, like, why they wanted the £1 million?
Yeah, sure.
And a lot of them were, like, depressing. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
So, I don't know if they bring it up later, but I'm glad they didn't have it last time. I'm glad they didn't have it this time.
Yeah. They, there's a few mentions, like, so I finished the whole series. There's a few mentions for why, but none of them are really dark. Like, nothing like that.
Well, do you remember I had a whole rant about how it was like Squid Game or The Running Man or something. The show was leading to the dig, like people humiliating themselves for money for our entertainment. Mm,
that's right. I do remember you saying that. Yeah. No,
it's like Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
They've got a few. There's a few who have like backstories about why they want to do it, but it's not actually one of them is pretty sweet. I'm like, oh.
Okay, you have to watch the show to find out, though, folks.
Yeah, you do, and actually, yeah. So we also meet Alex and Rob, who I wanted to like Alex because he's seemingly very smart and like a gymnast, and also I was like, oh, the one Asian guy, yeah, I would root for him, but he was just so smug and so annoying.
Yeah, the word that jumps to my mind is douche.
Like, but, all right.
He looks like Mr. Terrific. That's what I said he's like.
Except he just didn't listen to anyone. Like, he was like, no, I'll do this because I'm better than you at this. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, sorry, Rob.
He just wouldn't stop talking.
Yeah. And then sometimes he's wrong, too. It's not like he's always right.
Mm, yeah. But there's a lot of communication problems because they're like, between the towers, they have to go on radio. I think one of Steven and Shelly. Steven would like not stop talking, and Shelly couldn't hear the.
That was frustrating.
I was starting to judge. I'm like, then I realized, you know what? How many times, even just in the same room, me and Carolyn would be talking, and I was like, wait, I didn't hear you say that. And being on top of the roof with stressful situations and radio problems, like, all right, I'll cut you a little slack. But
yeah, exactly. There's also a part when Rob and Alex first arrive, Rob speaks Thai, and yet they still couldn't seem to understand him. Like, maybe he doesn't speak it very well or something.
I think it's that they were just instructed not to help them at all.
Oh, okay. So they just, like, stare at him. It doesn't work.
But yeah, so at the end of this, the other married couple, not Sid and Shabina, they've both got S names. Steven and Shelly go to meet up with Sid and Shabina for the killer question.
Yep.
They go to this abandoned stadium where they bring out these two Thai martial artists who are doing Muay Thai.
Which, Christian, this may be insensitive of me. They say Muay Thai is this martial art, but it looked to me like they were just hitting each other. It just looked like boxing.
Of you. No, there are definitely different moves that I could recognize.
Oh, yeah, okay, they punch each other and they do the spin kick.
Yeah, no, so they set up this question. The question is, in Muay Thai, there's a move which translates to the crocodile thrashes its tail, and you have three options, a reverse elbow, an uppercut, and a turn kick. And they have to figure out which one is the crocodile thrashes its tail.
It's very obviously the turn kick.
Yeah, yeah. It is. And like, they do demonstrate all of those. It's not, I mean, yes, it's some boxing. And then you have the reverse elbow, and then you get the uppercut move, and then the turn kick. All right, it's obviously the turn kick. That's the one that looks like, a crocodile thrashing its tail. And then Sid and Shabina are like on that path, and then they talk themselves out of it.
Yeah, Sid once again is the worst. Sorry, Sid. I wanted to like him, but he just keeps sabotaging his own team.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so Sid and Shabina get eliminated, and Steven and Shelly move on to the next challenge as our episode ends.
There's a funny quote from who are the other ones besides Sid and Shabina?
Steven and Shelly.
So Steven says to Shelly, if we could just listen to each other, we got this game in the bag. And I was like, they've been married for 28 years and they can't listen to each other. Yeah. I think they're in trouble.
No. I mean, you're putting, like I've said before, I cut them a lot of slack because you're put into this really high-stress situation. And there's a lot riding on this. Potentially £1 million, which is almost $2 million. That's a lot.
Well, it's also funny because he was the one not listening.
True. Yes. I'll give you that.
They also go for a ride on some motorcycles.
Oh, yes. They get taken away by motorcycles. And then you get a little montage of all these things that will happen in the rest of the season. Now, did you watch any more of the season?
Well, no, but I only watched it the day before we recorded.
Okay.
I mean, the episodes are nice and short.
Yeah.
So I might keep going.
I feel like last season were like hour long. And these are like 30 minutes episodes. And there's only 8 of them.
They're still a little padded, but that's okay. What did you think of the rest of the season? Was it worth watching?
I would say it is. So, for me, a massive improvement. I mean, this will just go into our ratings, yes.
Ratings.
I looked at what we rated season one, and I gave season one a 6.5, because, it's still fun. Mostly entertaining game show. You gave it a 4. So
sounds right. I didn't love it.
I'm going to give this a 7.5, a whole point above last season. It's still an edited game show, but I liked everyone a lot more. And it's just like, you know, I would be rooting for people. And then I like, you hear more about someone else and like, and then see how they're doing. Like, oh, I'm kind of rooting for them too. So I liked almost every couple. I mean, even Alex and Rob, who annoyed me, I still wanted them to win too.
Yeah. I mean, you want the best for people, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, you know, I like that the contestants are much less siloed and the actions have even more of an effect on the other teams as the game progresses. It gets more and more and more involved with each other. Yeah. And, you know, rather than the random trivia questions, now it's much more about facing your feels and physical endurance.
Good.
And even a few mind games, too. Like, they, you know, there's times where teams have to face up against each other on some sort of mind games. You know, I like that they actually went to a lot of real Bond locations, and Bond never feels like a dirty word that they shouldn't mention. So they actually got a former Bond writer who wrote GoldenEye, Tomorrow Never Dies, and The World Is Not Enough, Bruce Feierstein, to be a producer on the show. And he our old friends, the Spyhards, actually have a great interview with him about his role on the show and how he was there to sort of figure out, all right, how do we make this more Bondian, basically.
Oh, interesting.
It feels much more Bondy. And it just worked better as a game show, I think. What about you? How do you think you would rate this?
So it was definitely an improvement over season one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the target audience. Even though I like James Bond, I really don't care about game shows or reality shows or reality game shows. I thought it was like fine. I would give it like a 5.5.
All right.
It was okay. Like there was more James Bond stuff, but the first episode I thought was a great start. The second episode, like they just climb something. It was okay, I guess.
Well, okay. All right. Well, I will say, I think the challenges as they go on become much more intense. Like, there's a whole scuba diving one. There's a, I've got to remember all the other bits that they have to do. Oh, yeah. Like, there's one where they have to, like, guide their partner through Mexico City as the Day of the Dead parade that they feature in Spectre happens. So I'd be curious to get back to you if you watch the rest of the series and what do you think of it at the end.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do. So also, this is the Dead Drop episode, so we're doing things out of order. I have a little bit of Spy Fact versus Fiction. And also a humble brag. A little bit of both.
All right.
Spy Fact versus Spy Fiction.
So when they're climbing on the tower, they use they're called lobster claws in the business, which is two carabiners with lines, and each line is attached to your harness. So you clip one carabiner on, then the other one, then you climb, and then you one. So that way you're always attached.
Yeah.
And so the humble bragging is, in middle school, I was really into climbing like this. Like, we had a thing called Project Adventure at my school, at my middle school, which was all, you climb up a tree and then you do an element, like swinging or something. And later, when I again was in New Zealand, so I was college aged, there was an element where you have to do things like, and this is going to be very hard to describe on audio, but imagine you hold above your head and then you swim back and you push your feet like up through a tire. So you go feet first through a tire.
All right.
I was actually able to do that, even though I never worked out in college. and then later still, when I went back to school, they had a big tower that you could climb on. And the only thing I had trouble that I found scary was they had a net like on the side of a boat, but it was a 45 degree angle out and you were below
overhang.
It.
Okay.
Yeah. So you were like, you were below it hanging off the edge and there's nothing below you. That was scary. But I feel like if I were on the show, I would be able to do the climbing much more than I could do the scorpions. I'd much rather do that.
I think I could. I mean, you know, I used to do rock climbing or indoor rock climbing. And so, you know, I think I could do it. I don't know if I'd be happy about it, but I could do it.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's my thoughts on the show. That's all my fact versus fiction. I thought they did a pretty good job.
Yeah. And so we both think, to varying degrees, it was an improvement over last season.
Definitely an improvement over the last season, yeah. And can't wait to see the James Bond children's cartoon they come out with next.
They've already had it. It's called James Bond Jr. We reviewed it.
Yeah, the gritty reboot.
we'll see. I mean, we'll see how, and we haven't really talked about it on the show, but with the Amazon takeover, things are moving. We've got the new James Bond video game that we, you know, covered the first trailer on the show. We've got an announced director. We've got an announced writer for the next James Bond movie. So presumably, the next news we might hear is casting. So and whenever that happens, I'll probably want us to do a dead drop on it, because that'll be very interesting stuff. So we'll see what comes from director Denis Villeneuve and writer Stephen Knight. But with that, thank you for joining us. You can find us on social media at The Spy-Fi Guys on Facebook, Blue Sky, YouTube, and Instagram, and our merch store at redbubble.com. Until next time, I'm Christian.
And I'm Zach.
And we are The Spy-Fi Guys, signing off.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed our podcast, please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes. The theme music is by Jer Fitzgerald and Big Man Joe. Media reviewed by our podcast are the intellectual property of their respective copyright holders, and no infringement is intended.
This is a personal podcast. Any views, statements, or opinions expressed in this podcast are personal and belong solely to the participants. They do not represent those of people, institutions, or organizations that the participants may or may not be associated with in a professional or personal capacity, unless explicitly stated. Any views or opinions are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, or individual.
You can find our podcast on social media at The Spy-Fi Guys on Facebook, Blue Sky, YouTube, and Instagram.